Let's now consider why the Eurozone seems to be hovering on the precipice for so long without either collapsing or solving its basic problems. As of early 2013, the Eurozone crisis now has been going on for well over 3 years. It's remarkable how many different weeks commentators have suggested that this is a critical week for the Eurozone, yet the crisis seems to continue. I think of this in terms of a simple model. So imagine that we have the more solvent countries, as might be represented by, say, Germany, and then also the less solvent countries, as might be represented by Greece, Portugal, and Spain. The more solvent countries are, in fact, really quite determined to avoid catastrophe or Eurozone collapse, and they will bail out the less solvent members to the extent that is necessary. That said, they want to run those bailouts at minimum cost to themselves, most of all the German taxpayer. So as part of the bailout, they will impose fiscal conditions on the less solvent countries, in essence requiring the less solvent countries to pick up some of the bill for the bailout. Sometimes this is called austerity, so you will require some mix of tax increases and spending cuts in return for sending over aid. The austerity is supposed to ensure that you don't just take this new money and spend it on additional government programs. In this model, there's always a tug-of-war going on. The more solvent countries wish to impose more austerity on the less solvent countries than the less solvent countries wish to adopt. It's pretty easy to see why. Austerity is politically unpopular. People do not like laying off government employees or cutting government spending. We now can analyze two pretty simple scenarios. In the first, imagine that, for some exogenous reason, things get worse for the insolvent countries. Well, in that case, the Eurozone does not fall off the precipice. What happens is that the solvent countries step up and they offer more aid. The system, however, remains near the precipice because the more solvent countries aren't going to offer any more aid than they need to keep the Eurozone from collapsing. Alternatively, imagine that things get better for the insolvent countries. Well, you still stay close to that precipice. As conditions improve, in essence, the less solvent countries will shirk more. They will undertake fewer structural reforms or undertake less fiscal consolidation. They also know that they don't need to be too far away from the precipice because the more solvent countries will, in fact, prevent them from falling over. So overall, when there's bad news about the Eurozone, it turns out it's not actually quite as bad as we might have thought, but similarly, good news for the Eurozone also isn't nearly as good as it might have seemed at first. In both cases, the Eurozone pretty much stays close to that precipice. Could there be intervening factors which would allow parts of the Eurozone to fall off that precipice? Well, that's possible. One of those would be a power vacuum, either in the more solvent or less solvent countries, or maybe even both, and such a power vacuum could prevent a required adjustment from keeping the less solvent countries from falling off that cliff. So an implication of this model is that power vacuums can be especially dangerous. Another possible risk is simply that there may not be correct common knowledge about exactly where the precipice lies, and you may at some point in time get an individual country falling off that precipice even when everyone around thought that matters perhaps were safer. Finally, you could imagine that one of the less solvent countries is simply allowed to fall off the precipice. Some of this could be political resentments, but another option would be that maybe the more solvent countries chose some manner of pre-commitment to try to get a better bargain with the less solvent countries, but once that pre-commitment is locked in politically, it may stop the more solvent countries from bailing out the less solvent countries. Still, it's also quite a possible scenario that no one of these problems kicks in, and the Eurozone remains on the precipice for some number of additional years, and eventually it grows out of its current difficulties with structural reform and fiscal consolidation. This matches up with a pretty common intuition, namely the view that a solution in principle to the Eurozone crisis really is there, that is, the numbers can be made to add up, but the risk is there's some chance of a big accident happening along the way. Individuals who are pessimistic about survival of the Eurozone tend to be those who believe that politics in some of these countries is sufficiently dysfunctional, that the accident scenario is more or less the default scenario. Individuals who are more optimistic about the Eurozone tend to be those who have a bit more faith in politics, and they see some chance of an accident happening, but the default scenario is indeed that the Eurozone nations recover.